I decided to do a follow-up to last week's message on about the sign gifts, and I want to real quickly in your handout review a couple things here. Last week we learned that a true apostle of Christ had two primary characteristics. To be an apostle, number one, you had to have actually seen the resurrected Christ. Okay? Christ made appearances during that 40-day window after he rose from the dead. The apostles are those who saw the resurrected Christ physically after he rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, 4 through 9, we read that. Number two, to be an apostle, they demonstrated the validity of their apostleship through the manifestation of miraculous signs and wonders. And we read that in Hebrews chapter 2, 3 and 4, Mark 16, 20, 2 Corinthians 12, 12. We saw Paul talks about how he had the marks of an apostle, and he talks about the signs and the wonders. And now there are people today who claim to be apostles. You see them on TV and so forth, and they claim to have the apostolic sign gifts. And in your handout, it says that it seems that the number one gift that they purport to have is the apostolic gift of healing. This kind of seems to be the number one thing they like to talk about, is that they have the apostolic gift of healing. And you see them on TV and so forth, and you hear them on the radio, that they have the apostolic gift of healing. Now, let me just say something right off the bat, okay? That I am not here to judge anybody's heart. I cannot judge anybody's heart. Only God can see the heart. Amen? So I'm not here to judge anybody's heart. I really believe that some of the guys out there are very sincere in what they are trying to do. I believe they're very sincere in what they're trying to do. I don't think they're, you know, intentionally trying to lead people astray or anything like that. I believe that just like in any group, you mean you take Baptists, are there charlatans and are there fakes and phonies that are Baptists? Sure there are. And so, I mean, absolutely. And they're same way with this deal. There's fakes, there's phonies, but then there's people who are genuine and sincere in what they're trying to do. Okay, that doesn't make it right, but you know what they're doing. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not here to judge anybody's heart. I'm not here to try to condemn anyone. What I want to do, though, is look at the actions. I want to look at, you know, we can't judge people's hearts, but we can judge actions, we can judge things, and we're commanded to discern things through God's Word. So we can do that. We can discern doctrine, we can discern teaching, we can discern what people say, how they act. That we can discern. We can't discern their heart and their motive behind what they're doing, but we can discern the doctrine and the teaching. Now, multitudes of people with sickness and with disease, you've seen it and I've seen it, they crowd into auditoriums by the thousands, and they're hoping to find deliverance from their infirmities through the means of a faith healer. And make no mistake about it, and again, I'm not here to judge everyone that believes in this, but there's an element of that it's a big money business. You know what I mean? It is a big money business. For instance, the number one guy that you think of when you think of this stuff is Benny Hinn. And the fact is, I mean, you can go online, you can research it yourself, that the guy lives in a multi-million dollar oceanfront mansion. When the LA Times reporter interviewed him back in 2003, he drove up in his $80,000 Mercedes-Benz SUV, sporting designer sunglasses, elaborate clothes, jewelry, and so forth. His organization, you know, they brought in $89 million in donations in 2002. So there's no doubt about it that people, I guess because the thing of health kind of touches us more than anything else, doesn't it? I mean, the thing of our health and our well-being and sickness, that just seems to touch us, you know, deeply more than anything else. And so a lot of people crowd into auditoriums and they are hoping to find deliverance from whatever infirmity they have. And we learned last week that God did in the early church give them sign gifts to the apostles. And the sign gifts were given to validate the apostles of Christ. That you know, in they were there to more or less to validate the fact that the apostles had in fact seen the resurrected Christ. So it was there to validate them and their apostleship. We saw that the sign gifts were given to confirm new truth. All throughout the book of Acts, God's dispensing new truth. The sign gifts were given to validate the truth that the apostles preached and shared. And then we saw that the sign gifts were given to serve as a sign to the nation of Israel, that God had left them and God was now among the Gentiles. And that if they didn't repent, turn to Christ, God was going to bring judgment. So the sign gifts were there to show Israel God had left them and God had gone to the Gentiles. Now, are there apostles today, yes or no? No, because there are no people that have seen physically the resurrected Christ. He's not making appearances anymore. We saw that in 2 Corinthians 5 last week. Is God dispensing new revelation and new truth today, yes or no? No, we've got God's completed revelation, and it's right here in the Word of God. Okay, Israel, is God dealing with the world today through the nation of Israel, yes or no? No, Israel was set aside nationally in Acts 28, we saw last week. So the three reasons for the sign gifts, none of them are there today. There's no apostles to validate, there's no new truth to confirm, and the nation of Israel has been set aside. Now, a lot of people go crazy when you say that, and they'll quote Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they say, see there, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like He gave the sign gifts then, He's still doing that today. And what they do is they draw the false conclusion that Jesus Christ is working the same way today, okay, that He did in the Gospels and in the Acts time period. Well, you know, that verse, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is speaking of His character. The fact that Christ's character was the same yesterday, it's the same today, and it'll be the same in eternity. Christ is love. Amen? Has He always been love? Will He always be love? Yeah. Is He just? Always has been? Is? Always will be. That's what that verse is talking about. He's the same in His character, in His essence. Okay? But His dealings with mankind, we know clearly. I mean, Jesus Christ waited 30 years before He healed anybody. Then He changed, see? And then, after 30 years of living on the earth, He began to heal. So, you know, clearly Christ's dealings with mankind change as we go through the various time periods in the Bible. But here's what I want to propose tonight. If they say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that He, in the sense of His workings, and that just like He gave the sign gifts back in the early church, He's still doing that today, then I say, okay, well, there's got to be a way to discern that, though. And, of course, the way to discern it is the Bible. And in your handout, it says that Jesus said that His apostles would actually do greater works than He did. John 14:12. So faith healers today should exemplify the same biblical characteristics in their healing ministries that Jesus and the apostles did in their ministries. I mean, if somebody's going to claim to be an apostle, if somebody's going to claim to have the same apostolic gift that the apostles and Jesus had, then the same biblical characteristics should characterize that sign gift as it did in the Bible. If it's the same, okay, then they ought to have the same characteristics. So what I want to look at tonight is six characteristics of the healing ministry of Christ and the apostles. The marks of a true apostle. Number one, here we go. Number one, first, Jesus and the apostles went where the sick people were. Matthew chapter 9, if you'll turn over there, we're going to start looking in our Bibles pretty in depth here. So Matthew chapter 9. And if you're on the fence on this thing and you really wonder about this issue, please listen closely tonight. Take the Word of God, rightly divide it, and it'll bring you, I think, to the right conclusion. Matthew 9, verse 35. Okay, we're going to just study this thing out. We're going to look at Jesus and the apostles and their healing ministries. Matthew 9, 35. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Okay, let's do this. Keep your bookmarker here and go to Acts chapter 5. So Jesus went about the cities and villages, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Let's go over to Acts 5. Okay, Acts chapter 5. Now, and let's look at verse 15. Acts 5:15. All right, let's look at it. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Jesus went from city to city healing, finding and healing sick people. The apostles went through the streets of Jerusalem healing sick people. They went where the sick people were, okay? They didn't wait for them to come to them. How thrilling it would be to really have that gift, the sign gift of healing. Wouldn't it be thrilling if you had that gift? I mean, imagine being able to go to the hospitals and walk through the hallways, touching people that are sick or dying and healing them. Imagine with modern transportation that we have today, being able to fly to great disease pockets of the world and walk through crowds healing people that are inflicted with AIDS, inflicted with cancer and other deadly diseases. You know, I have to wonder and I have to ask in my mind, why is it that the faith healers today, why is it that they're not hanging around the nursing homes and hospitals and sanitariums? Why is it that they rarely come out of their church buildings, auditoriums, tents, and coliseums, and out from in front of the TV cameras to exercise their gift? Why is it that they seem, for the most part, to exercise their gift in a controlled environment, staged their way according to their schedule, and their workers prompting and screening the crowd? Now, am I fair in asking those questions? I think I am. And again, I'm not being unkind. I'm simply taking their ministries and comparing them. If they say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's talking about the way He works in healing, okay, then I think I'm fair to say, okay, well, let's look at Christ. How did He operate? How did the apostles operate? Well, they went where the sick people were. Number two, the second thing is this. Jesus and the apostles healed instantly. They healed instantly. You're in Acts 3. Go over to, or I'm sorry, you're in Acts 5. Go back to Acts 3, since we're right there. Acts chapter 3. There's a man here that's lame. He's crippled from his mother's womb. Guy's never walked a day in his life. And verse 7, it says, Acts 3:7, that Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And underline that next word. What is it? Immediately. Immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Instantly, boom. Look at Acts chapter 9. Go over there with me. Acts chapter 9. Again, this is Peter. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Acts 9:32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose, underline it, what's the next word? Immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Go back to Matthew with me, please. I'll tell you what, go to Luke. Luke chapter 17. Let's go over there. Just go backwards a few books to Luke chapter 17. Let's go to Christ and His ministry. Acts 17 verse 12. Acts 17:12. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers. They had a dreaded disease of leprosy, incurable. And verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, boom, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. Notice, all 10 healed instantly. Go back with me to Mark, the book before Luke, Mark chapter 5. Notice again this characteristic of Christ and the apostles' healing ministries. They healed instantly. They went where the sick people were, and they healed instantly. Look at Mark 5, please, in verse 29. Mark 5, verse 29. Let's go up to verse 28. Well, let's start in verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, that means immediately, the word straightway means immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, people will say this. I've heard this, and you've probably heard this. I've been healed, and now I'm getting better. My back feels better. My arthritis isn't as painful. My tumor is shrinking. My cancer is in remission. Well, those are all wonderful things. Amen? We rejoice. But that's not the gift of healing as exercised by Christ and the apostles. When they healed, it wasn't that the crippled guy now could walk with a cane. You know, it wasn't that he went from a wheelchair to being able to stand, and then the next day he could walk with a cane, and then the next day he could shuffle. No, he was healed, what? Instantly. See? It's instant. That was the apostolic gift. Okay, is that they healed instantly. Boom. All right? Number three, Jesus and the apostles healed totally. They healed totally. Go to Matthew chapter 8, if you would. Matthew chapter 8, right before Mark. Matthew 8, verse 14. Matthew 8, verse 14. This is a great passage right here. Just an example of how Christ healed. This is just one example, but we could duplicate it and spend all night looking at it. Matthew 8, 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw Peter's wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. She was on her back, couldn't get up, sick of a fever. Verse 15. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Now, notice this. And she arose and ministered unto them. She got up and cooked them some okra and some, you know, some corn on the cob, some roast beef, and some fried chicken. Amen, brother. Would you say that was a total healing? She's sick in bed and can't get up one minute. She's up ministering and serving them the next minute. Total healing. Total. Look over at Acts chapter 4. Remember the guy I told you about that hadn't walked a day in his life? Well, in Acts chapter 4, we're in the next day. Because they took the apostles and they put them in hold. They put them in prison, basically. And they took them. And the next day, we're now 24 hours later, okay? And so often is the case, which I'm going to read to you here in just a minute, so many times these supposed healings you see on TV, they're back in their wheelchair the next day. Well, notice it's the next day. And in Acts 4:14, it says, and they were beholding, the rulers of Israel were beholding the man which was healed. Notice, what was he doing? Standing with them. He was right there with... I love that. Man, the guy didn't just split and hightail it. I like that. I never really noticed that before, and I was studying for this. I'm like, man, that's cool. This guy made it a point to make sure he was there the next day. And when Peter and James and John, when all these guys, when they had to stand before the rulers, he's right there with them, standing there. Standing with them. And look what it says in verse 14. And it says, they could say what? Nothing against it. Verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot, what, church? I cannot deny it. We just can't deny it. Now, here's what I want you to get. When Jesus healed and the apostles healed, they healed totally. Peter's mother-in-law got up and started serving him. When Jesus healed this guy, and the apostles healed, there were no lying symptoms to ignore. Now that's a term sometimes that they will use. You know, that, well, you're healed, those are just lying symptoms. You know, you got a cold and you're coughing, You know, supposedly you've been healed of the cold, but you're coughing. Well, that coughing is just lying symptoms. Lying symptoms. When the apostle healed the man that had been lame from his mother's womb, the next day he's standing there before the Jewish council. The unbelievers couldn't deny that he had been healed miraculously. I read a sad story in the LA Times report. It said there was a little boy that they interviewed, and he was 11 years old, squinting like this through Coke bottle glasses. And they were playing a Miracle Crusade video that had been made 2 years earlier, which starred this boy who was supposedly miraculously recovered. He'd miraculously recovered from his vision problems. And the little boy said, "I liked it at first because I thought I was being healed." And he's actually lives with his aunt and uncle. And on the screen that they're watching, Benny Hinn bends down to William, it's the boy's name, puts his hand on the child's face, and he says, "Look at those tears peering into the child's eyes." He says, "William, baby, can you see me?" And before more than 15,000 people in an auditorium there in Las Vegas, William nods that he can see him. And in a small voice, the boy says, "As soon as God healed me, I could see better." And Benny Hinn wrapped his arms around him, told the audience that God had told him to pay the child's medical expenses and education. And of course, people are weeping on the video. Well, today that little boy is still legally blind. He says his sight never improved, and his onstage comments were wishful thinking from a little boy. And his uncle said, "It's pretty sad when you mess with a little boy's mind." He says, the uncle said, "It took 2 years, a series of phone calls, and a reporter's inquiry before his family was finally told where a $10,000 fund had been set up in his name. 2 years. It took them just hounding them. Family members said they still have not received any paperwork on how to access the money. 2 years later." It's interesting. I was reading this that at each crusade, people will line up, you know, and they'll give testimonials of healing during the service. And what happens is a lot of those people go home and they abandon their medical treatments, you know, is what they do in faith. And, of course, there was a lot of bad publicity about that. So in response, Benny Hinn started what he called the Miracle Follow-Up Department. And that was to make phone calls to encourage those who were healed to go get checked out by their doctors before they stopped using their medications. It's funny, I never read of Jesus and the apostles doing that. They never had a miracle follow-up department that I read of in the Bible. Why? Because when the apostolic gift was used, people were healed totally. They were healed instantly and totally, immediately, straightway. Next thing there, number four in your handout, Jesus and the apostles healed everyone. Many times in the Bible, many times in Scripture, the Bible is careful to note this. For instance, go to Acts chapter 28. We'll just kind of go backwards. We'll start in Acts 28, then go to Acts 5. Acts 28, Paul is on this island. And we're getting here near the end of Acts, but the apostolic sign gift is still there, still operative. In Acts 28:7, "In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and" what? "Were healed." Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter number 5. Look again at verse 15, and I want to note this. Acts 5:15. "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And what's the next word? Every one. Go back with me now to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark 6, verse 56. Last verse. Mark 6, 56. Look at it with me. It says in verse 56, "And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets," just like the apostles, "and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole." In Matthew 9:35, go back there real quick again, and we'll look at that. Matthew 9:35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." And notice this, Matthew 9:35, "and healing some of the sickness." No. I misread that, didn't I? "And healing" what? "Every sickness and every disease among the people." Look at Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew 4:23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." And notice this, "healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." Now, obviously, folks, people had to want to be healed to come to Jesus. So, I mean, there was a certain degree, obviously, where people, you know, Jesus and the apostles didn't go around pushing their gift on somebody who was antagonistic toward them. But the point is, when somebody came to Christ or the apostles sincerely and genuinely desiring healing, they healed them. They healed every one of them. There were no misfires. Okay? It wasn't a case of some being sick. It wasn't the case of some being healed and then others left in their sick condition. No. In your handout it says, unlike healers today, they did not leave long lines of disappointed people who had to return home in their wheelchairs. They didn't end their healing service to catch a jet somewhere else. They didn't end their healing service because their TV time expired. William Nolan was a medical doctor who wrote a book entitled Healing, A Doctor in Search of a Miracle. And he wrote this. He did a little research on Catherine Kuhlman, famous faith healer lady, back in the 70s. And it said there, he wrote, and I'm going to quote this for you. It said, "Finally it was over, the meeting. There were still long lines of people waiting to get onto the stage and claim their cures. But at 5 o'clock, with a hymn and a final blessing, the show ended. Miss Kuhlman left the stage and the audience left the auditorium. Before going back to talk to Miss Kuhlman, I spent a few minutes watching the wheelchair patients leave. All the desperately ill patients who had been in wheelchairs were still in wheelchairs. In fact, the man with the kidney cancer in his spine and hip, the man whom I helped to the auditorium and who had his borrowed wheelchair brought to the stage and shown to the audience, whom he claimed as a cure, he was now back in his wheelchair. His cure, even if only a hysterical one, had been extremely short-lived. As I stood in the corridor watching the hopeless cases leave, seeing the tears of the parents as they pushed their crippled children to the elevators, I wished Miss Kuhlman had been with me. She had complained a couple times on stage during the service of the responsibility, the enormous responsibility, and of how her heart aches for those that weren't cured. But I wondered how often she really looked at them. I wondered whether she sincerely felt that the joy of those cured of bursitis and arthritis compensated for the anguish of those that left with withered legs and their cancers of the liver. I wondered if she really knew what damage she was doing. I could not believe that she did." It's interesting that the LA Times reporter that interviewed Benny Hinn was there, and he said Hinn was on stage reciting the healings that were taking place throughout the arena. He said within a 10-minute span at the Anaheim Crusade in February, the pastor proclaimed that those individuals with asthma, cancerous tumors, arthritis, leukemia, emphysema, and 22 other ailments are all cured. And he said though he seldom mentions it on stage, the next day when they interviewed him, Benny Hinn secretly had said to the interviewer, he said, "Yeah, I wonder why God doesn't heal some people." It's a question, he said, that he's had to wrestle with personally. He says, "I have a heart condition that God hasn't cured." He said, "My parents have suffered serious medical problems. That's a difficult thing for me because I told my daddy to believe, but he died." And he says, "I don't know why." He said, "There was a time in my life when I never would have said those things." He said, "But you have to." I mean, Benny Hinn said, "My goodness, my mom has diabetes and my daddy died with cancer." He said, "That's life." But I want you to see that the apostolic sign gift of healing, when it was practiced and when it was in operation, Christ and the apostles healed everyone. Number five, Jesus and the apostles healed organic disease. In other words, they didn't just heal lower back pain. They didn't just heal headaches. They didn't just heal heart palpitations, arthritis, or other non-visible ailments. You know what they did? They healed crippled legs from birth. They healed withered hands. They healed palsy. They healed blind eyes, deaf ears, leprosy. One fellow who's worked 21 years with severely handicapped people, he said that he's witnessed firsthand the disappointment left in the wake of a Hinn miracle crusade. He said, "Over the years, I've seen many of my clients attend the events, and they're swept up in a wave of excitement, thinking they're about to walk for the first time or have their limbs straightened." He said, "You can't minimize the impact of not being healed on the person, the family, and the extended family." He said, "They have a sense of euphoria at the crusade, and then they crash down." He said, "Benny Hinn is not around to pick up the pieces." You see, when Jesus and the apostles healed, they healed organic disease. Now, I'm running out of time, and I really don't have time to do this right now. But in your handout, I do have a couple statements to give you here. It says, their healings were undeniably miraculous. And I give you some verses, Matthew 15:31, Acts 4:16. But I want you to get this. Jesus took an ear that had been cut off and healed it. Okay? Now, this is, you know, when we're talking about the apostolic sign gift of healing, here we go. You remember how that happened? They came to arrest Jesus, old Peter. You know Peter. He took out his sword. Whoop! He whacked one of the guy's ears off that were coming to arrest Jesus. Jesus picked the ear up, put it back on the guy, and healed him. Have you seen any faith healers today take somebody that's been amputated and heal it back? That's the sign gift. Look at this in your handout. Peter healed a man who'd been crippled and in bed for 8 years. We read about it earlier. You know, it's interesting. The Apostle Paul actually does the reverse of this to a man in Acts 13. There's a guy withstanding Paul and opposing him. You know what Paul does? Paul strikes the guy with blindness. He does the opposite. It's amazing. Number six, last thing. I got to hurry. Jesus and the apostles performed the ultimate of all healings. They raised the dead. And it says in your handout, and they did it in front of crowds of people. Okay? They did it. It was undeniable. John 11, of course you know Lazarus. Acts chapter 9, Peter raises up a person that had been dead, and they'd actually washed the dead body and laid it in an upper chamber. Peter goes in there, raises him from the dead. Acts chapter 20, Paul raises a guy, Eutychus, from the dead. You know, Benny Hinn made this comment. He said this. He said this on TV. He said, he made this prophecy. He said, you're going to have people raised from the dead watching the Trinity Broadcasting Network. He said, I see rows of caskets lining up in front of this TV set, and I see actual loved ones picking up the hands of the dead, letting them touch the screen, and people are getting raised. You say, well, was that ever proven? Well, what do you think? What do you think? Those who claim to have the apostolic gift of healing are not raising people from the dead. They're not hanging out at the funeral homes. Now, again, I don't want to be unkind at all. And that's not my heart. I don't want to judge their heart. I don't even want to judge Benny Hinn's heart. His heart is between him and God, and he knows the reasons why he does what he does, and I'm not here to judge that. I'm here to look at the doctrine. I'm here to look at the teaching. I'm here to look at the actions that we can judge. And we've seen from the Bible six characteristics of a true apostle's healing ministry. Now, despite the claims being made today, and guys saying that they're apostles and they have the sign gift of healing, nobody's exhibiting these six characteristics from God's Word in their healing ministries. Now, here's the thing. If a person wants to conveniently disregard these six things that typified the biblical sign gift of healing, that's fine. But they shouldn't call themselves an apostle and claim to have the sign gift of healing if they don't have these six characteristics. You say, why is this so important to look at, Pastor Dan? Why are you giving us this study tonight? Here's why I'm doing it. In your handout it says, because so many people today are living under guilt. And they're living under condemnation because they did not receive their healing. And you know, we have hundreds of people listen on the web. And as people listen to this around the world, they listen to this message, I want them to know that they don't have to feel inferior. You know, there's people out there, they're living under this guilt, this condemnation, because they haven't received their healing and they feel inferior, or they think maybe God's mad at them. They think maybe they aren't good enough. They think maybe I don't. Maybe it's my problem. I don't have enough faith. Man, I want people to come out from under the bondage of that guilt and condemnation. And in your handout it says there's others who are filled with false hope. That's the other reason why I'm giving this. There's people filled with false hope. They go to these crusades or they think this is the answer, and they get filled with all this false hope. And then you know what happens to a lot of these people that go to the crusades and they think they're healed, and then they leave and they're not? They end up devastated. They end up, like Paul said, their faith is shipwrecked. Their faith in God is undermined. Why? Because they've been sold a false bill of goods, false teaching. Christian, don't despair. You know, the Apostle Paul called this dispensation that we live in Romans 8, he called it the sufferings of this present time. But Paul said, though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. And I want you to know tonight that we have a hope that extends far beyond the physical healing of these corruptible mortal bodies. I want you to get that statement in your handout. We have a hope that goes far beyond the physical healing of these corruptible mortal bodies. Look with me at the screen up here. 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, what is it doing? It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. I cannot stand up here and promise you that you're going to be healed of whatever disease you have. I cannot come and just lay hands on you and say, you're healed. I can't do that because the sign gifts aren't operative today. Praise the Lord God in His grace. Aren't you glad for the times we do get sick and we get better? Amen. I mean, all of us have been sick at one time or another. And it, were it not for the grace of God, you could have a simple cold and die of it. You know? And there's not a one of us in here who hadn't been sick and through the grace of God and that we've gotten better. But here's the thing. Here's what I want you to see. If you aren't healed, I want you to know these mortal bodies, this isn't where it's at. Okay, this isn't where it's at. And this isn't what it's all about. I want you to know the Bible says to set our affection on things above. And if your affection and your heart is all just set in your temporal body, then you're putting all your eggs in the wrong basket, friend. Now, I know there's not a one of us that doesn't want to live and live a long time. Not a one of us. We all want to live a long time. We all want to be healthy. We all want to be well. We all want to have a long, healthy life. But the bottom line is, this is Paul calls it the sufferings of this present time. And I'm so glad to know that every single one of us in here, there's an ultimate healing coming for every one of us. And there is a healing program for the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace. And that healing program is called the rapture. And at the rapture, my friend, the Bible says He's going to take our vile bodies, these old corruptible bodies that are decaying. Every one of us, our body's in a state of decay. And you know what? He's going to take these old mortal bodies, and the Bible says these vile bodies, He's going to change them like unto His glorious body. And you are going to get an eternal... Listen, He's going to change your body. He's going to give you an eternal body, okay, that is able to function in the heavenly realm for all eternity. Isn't that a great promise? That's a great promise to know. We've got that coming. That's our future hope. That's why He calls it the blessed hope. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's the hope. It's the anchor of our soul that, man, trials and afflictions and suffering and problems and all these health issues, that is a part of this life down here on this sin-cursed earth. But man, there's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. And all of us one day will have that ultimate healing where we'll all be raised up from the dead. If we're alive at the rapture, our bodies will be changed. And we're going to receive a new body, a glorified body, like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, church? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. And Father, I pray, God,